Welcome, everyone, to Music Junkies, a podcast about people sharing extraordinary stories about how music has impacted their lives.
All right. Welcome, everyone, to Music Junkies. I'm your host, Annette Smith, and our guests today are a metal band from the London, UK. Unique sound, right? I listen to you guys. It's pretty cool, but I love how you describe, you know, you send your crowds into euphoric frenzies, which is awesome. So I'm sure there's some mosh pitting going in there and some fist pumping, which we absolutely love. So let me introduce this four-piece band with Stan, right? You want to put your hand up so we can see your handsome face, right? He is lead vocals, George on guitar, right? Lewis on bass, and Johnny on drums. Okay, I'm a drummer, so I resonate with you, Johnny. So I appreciate that. All to the drummers, right? You guys have released a couple singles, playing some songs, which we're going to go over today, right? I love it.
Absolutely.
So I'm excited that the whole entire band is joining us, right? So you guys want to shout out your name? Shout out your name. Band is all together.
Prodigal.
Prodigal. I love it, right? So I'm excited. So before we jump into your playlist and ask you a million questions, Stan, what was your experience putting your songs together for me today?
It was good. I think it was really nice to actually like go over different like things that have inspired us like collectively and individually. I think like we've all arrived at this point, especially in the last few months, where like we've really found our own sound. So like it was really cool to go back over different influences that has culminated in that for all of us, actually. Like I think we all really enjoyed like kind of putting this list together.
Definitely.
Yeah. No, it was cool. Yeah.
Did anybody go down any rabbit holes or stay in a certain age group of growing up when you're picking these songs?
I mean, I think for me, it was very much like songs that I heard since joining the band, because it was sort of, that was my way into this sort of music in general, was just, joining the band, being exposed to more variety in the sound and tried to pick some stuff that's really had an influence on me, as a creative with this group. So sort of stuck to that time period, really.
Okay. Yeah, it's interesting when people are doing their playlists, because sometimes I find our music is like from like 11 to 18 and we kind of stay in that area, or we got like lots of memories growing up in that getting out of elementary into high school era where it's like you're just finding yourself. And I feel like a lot of our music comes from that time. A lot of our stories come from that time. We're always referring back to that.
Yeah.
Definitely. For sure, yeah, 100%.
So did you guys all know each other before you started the band? Who wants to kind of walk me through how you guys got started?
I can talk about that. The first time I ever played music with Stan was at school, we were about 16. That was like, I didn't know Stan before that, really. And we joined like a, it was called like house music. So the different houses contained like the different groups of pupils would like perform for like a kind of battle of the groups, I guess. And we did a project together with a few other friends. And that kind of evolved into its own band that we took outside of school.
We kind of realized we had the same taste.
Definitely.
Like, out of everyone in the band, we realized that we liked kind of like Nirvana and Alice in Chains, and maybe other people kind of liked more like Arctic Monkeys, and we just realized we had similar tastes, didn't we?
Yeah,
and it grew from that.
It grew from wanting to like recreate that kind of music, and I didn't feel like anybody else in the group necessarily wanted to go that way, so I'm glad we decided to be honest.
Since then it's actually, it's been a bit of a roller coaster of like finding our own sound along that journey, because I think when we started out, it was just me and George wanting to make sounds that we hadn't been exposed to until we were maybe like 15, 16, 17 yeah. that really inspired us. So we were trying to be like something. And I think along the way, when Johnny joined, when Lewis joined, we started to find our own sound. And I think bands like Nirvana, Soundgarden, Alice in Chains, a lot of the Seattle scene, like that opened up different avenues to discover kind of a heavier outlet, like more like System of a Down or Deftones, as well as so many other, we're inspired by so many sounds. And I think yeah. along that way, we finally found our own thing.
Yeah.
I think it's been nice having the group of us as well, because we've all got quite different inspirations. Like me and Stan, we were friends from school, and then I moved away for college before coming back to the band a few years later. But yeah, like I said, I hadn't really been that deep into this sort of sound, into rock, heavy rock, metal, that kind of stuff. So I had more hip hop roots and R&B, jazzy stuff, just sort of other things completely. Then I brought that in. Stan and George, like they said, they came originally from this sort of grungy sound, but sort of evolved into more new metal-y and opened up into a whole new can of worms. And then Lewis bring in a lot of heavier sounds on bass, like, and started out playing guitar. He's probably one of the best guitarists in the group. but yeah, so it's just nice. Like we've all come together with a whole bunch of different inspirations, and it's sort of helped to form the sound that we've managed to find now.
So Stan and George, you guys kind of like started this, and then you went and kind of recruited.
Yeah.
Lewis. Well, to be fair, Johnny was the first to be recruited, and he was in the studio and like hanging around with us. Before.
I was just there as a fan, basically, as a friend.
Yeah, I remember him filming and like doing various bits and just hanging out with us. And then I remember one night we were sat around the table and we kind of just said, like, do you want to be the drummer? And, like, he couldn't play the drums. So
I had no experience before that.
I'm so glad we did.
Drummers are hard to come by. And, and Johnny had been around what we were creating. And we were like, you know what, like, I'd much rather be in a band with people that we all know are in it for the long run. We all know we trust each other and what we're doing. And I feel like we already had like a connection, and Johnny was already really, he was really fucking with the direction that we were going. So it was like a no brainer. And within a year and a half, like, he took to it, I don't know, like a duck to water, and he found his own style so quickly. And now he has his own influences, and musically, like, it's really starting to take off. So
that's really cool that you guys are like, hey, let's just, us four, we'll figure it out, right? You don't have to play the drums, whatever. Like, I just want you in the band. Go learn how to play the drums. Let's get this.
Well, I was there just as a mate to start off with. You know, I was there just hanging out with them whilst they'd be rehearsing, and then every now and then I'd try and get behind the kit and make some noise.
You're hoping that they're going to make millions of dollars before you even miss the train, right?
That's the plan. No, not at all. I was just enjoying being around it, enjoying the exposure to a new sound, and just sort of happy to see where it goes.
I love it. All right, Stan, we're going to start with your first song. You ready?
Yes.
All right, let's play a little bit of it. Did you hear it, Spirit?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, awesome. Okay, tell me a little bit about what that song means to you.
Well, I think, like, my main thing with Future Islands in general, it was a band that I stumbled across New Year's Eve 2015, because they were playing on the Jules Holland show, and my parents had it on. And I remember just walking in and seeing them performing. And what, just being completely mesmerized by the front man, by the singer, the way he was expressing, the way he was using words, the way he was using his body. It was such a performative expression on stage, and I think it kind of opened my eyes, because I'm an actor as well as doing this. I trained as an actor, I studied as an actor, and performing is what I want to do with my life. And I think it opened a door for me that I could see that music isn't something where I have to sit behind a piano or do loads of really understand theory and do grades and things like that. But actually music is an outlet to, it's an artistic outlet, you know, like where I realized I could be on stage and I could truly and freely be myself and write and express. And I think watching them was just a door that opened in my mind, and a light bulb moment at the age of 15. From then on I was hooked on them, and I was hooked on the energy. I was inspired by the energy that he brought as a front man, and I think that theatrical element, living the music, telling that tale through your voice and your body, you being a vessel in that sense, is utterly inspiring for me. Yeah.
So if you could be any front man in any band for like a week, who would you be?
You know, say Stan Kaley and Prodigal.
I think it would either be Future Islands or System of a Down. Just for the same thing that I was saying, for the theatrical element, for the experience, for I think something about Serj Tankian that I admire, and something about can't remember his name, the Future Island front man, but there's something about embodying the soul of the songs, being, like I said, a vessel for that, that is has really changed my outlook on how I can, you know, hold that on stage, and my responsibility, my role within the band.
So Lewis, who do you think he should be for a week as a front man? Any front man that you would like to see him be for a whole week, if you could choose.
That's a difficult question, because I was with him just last night. His energy on stage, I go to a lot of gigs, and I mean a lot of gigs.
Too many gigs.
Every month I'm at different gigs, seeing different bands, and it's just an energy that he has that I haven't seen many bands pull off. Slipknot, maybe. Corey Taylor as a front man is just incredible. Enter Shikari, one of my favourite bands, another amazing front man. He just lets it all out. Mm. I suppose that's probably the closest I could identifying with, be Grav from Enter Shikari, because he's just on stage, and it's not just his persona, it's his body language. He just gives it his all every time, and I've seen that band 20 plus times. So yeah, that's probably who I'd say it reminds me of the most.
So you've been to a lot of shows. What was your very first concert that you went to?
It was 10 years ago, actually, seeing Eminem at Wembley Stadium in London.
Wow. What a great first concert.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, tell me about it. It was an incredible experience. He was my biggest idol growing up. And getting to see him in the flesh, I was just, yeah.
Yeah, that would have been a great time.
Yeah.
That's awesome. All right, we're going to go next song. You guys ready? This is Sugar. So we're speaking a little bit about System of a Down. You guys love that band. Whose song is that?
It's a joint one, really. It's everyone's.
Oh, cool.
It's funny. It's like it's an instant throwback to our first ever gig, which you don't really count anymore. But there's a little festival in Cambridgeshire called Brewfest, and none of us have any ties to Cambridgeshire, really. But apart from that, me and Stan met this guy in the queue to a gig in London. He's like, "Oh yeah, we've got this festival out in Cambridgeshire. Do you want to come and play it?" And we're like, yeah, sure, like absolutely, like great opportunity. We're just jumping on everything we could at that point. And so we rock up on the day. It was like a baking hot summer's day, and we get off stage. Well, no, when we rock up, there's a two piece on the stage. One of them's holding an acoustic guitar, the other one's holding a violin, and they're singing to essentially family and friends at this garden party. And we're like, oh God, we shouldn't be here. Like, we're gonna ruin everyone's day. And then we get on stage and play Sugar as a cover.
Our first gig ever,
and this is what we dropped in the middle of a lovely civilized meadow. And yeah, it went swimmingly, absolutely swimmingly. I mean, we all had a great time. Like, we went out there, we had fun. And there was one guy we remember specifically right up at the front, very, very, very drunk, but having a whale of a time by himself. So that's all that matters, really. You know, like, as long as everyone's having a good time.
Or even one person.
Yeah. As long as there's one person, yeah. Yeah.
That's so funny, because I just seen Kiss a couple months ago, and we had there's like 100 of us, and we had like a private show to go see them and ask some questions and do all this kind of stuff, which was really, really cool. And they were talking about kind of one of their first gigs. It was like in a casino, right? They're like wearing all their gear. All the people in the crowd were like 900 years old, and you know, Gene's like sticking out his tongue, and they're like rocking out, and they're like fist pumping, and there's lots of smoke, and then the sprinklers are going on, like totally getting them drenched. The whole crowd is getting drenched, and they're still like rocking it out. And that was kind of like their first gig in a little casino, right? And they're like, and look at us now. And their manager was just like, yes, this is so awesome. And everybody's like, this is awful. I never want to see this again.
No,
so that's
brilliant.
A great story, hey?
Yeah. Awesome. No, it was a good day.
So growing up in high school, what kind of guys were you?
Who wants to kick this one off?
I was quiet. I was fairly quiet, I think.
That's fair.
Yeah. I remember in high school always like kind of, I didn't see Johnny, although Johnny was at my school for a while. I don't think I ever saw you at all, which is odd when I think about it. But I remember when I saw Stan, like, I remember always, like, not really knowing anything about him. And now when I think about that, that's really weird. You know, when you see someone for, like, moments and you don't know them at all, and then later on in life you know them, and it's kind of like you look back at those moments and it's just strange. It's really weird. But I don't know if you saw me.
I mean, we were in different years in school. Yeah. I was 2 years above him. So it was literally, like you said earlier, it was music that brought us together. Totally. And once that kind of bond had been created through that, then we hit it off from there. But like in high school, like, I think I was really sporty, and really into drama. I remember being really into theatre. We were just in different years, so we didn't speak actually.
What about you, Lewis? What kind of guy were you in high school?
Pretty much the same as I am now, just very into my music. I was always in different bands. That's where I first started to play a guitar when I was like 14, 15, something like that. I don't know.
Still the same. What was the name of your first band that you played in?
What's my first name? Oh, do you know what? I can't even remember the name. That's really bad.
Remember any of them?
Yeah, I remember we were just mainly doing covers of like Yumi X6 and Green Day. Oh, what were we called now? The Divided Kingdom, that's what we were called. Terrible. And I was in another band called The Leftovers.
That's a good punk name, The Leftovers.
Yeah, it was. We were just doing like acoustic stuff, which was you know, it was what it was. But it was fun. It was fun at the time. And that's where I started to find a passion for playing in front of an audience and, you know, getting that response that, you know, people actually enjoy what we play.
Yeah. What about you, Johnny? What were you like in high school?
I don't know, it's a difficult one. I was definitely more into my sports than anything else. I think that was the main focus on my mind at the time. That's actually how me and Stan first met. We were playing at the same rugby club. like 11, 12 years old, that kind of age. And yeah, that was kind of my focus through school, I think. It wasn't really too academically inclined. Made it through. I'm at uni now, so it's what it is. It was good whilst I was there. But yeah, musically, I don't know, I think I was finding my feet at the time. Like, I knew I had an interest in it. Didn't necessarily know what it was, but just sort of enjoying listening. Wasn't really playing too much.
Yeah.
But yeah, found it in the end, found what it is that was calling for me. So yeah.
I love that you guys played rugby. Both of my kids played pro rugby as well. I forced my daughter
to play.
She went actually higher than our son did, and she went and played for the Sevens and everything. So I love that you guys.
Oh, that's incredible.
It's awesome. It's really cool. Yeah, all right. Cool. Next song, you guys ready?
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. My Own Summer, Deftones.
Oh yes. Sick song. Love this song. George, I reckon you should start this one as always.
Yeah. Well, essentially the reason we all laugh at the start of that song, obviously you've got that like which is like just like iconic for that song essentially. And yeah, it brings it in. It's just like, it's just great. It's really catchy. And
the album opener as well.
Yeah, yeah. And it's the album opener. And yeah, we had this gig a little while ago. And we were covering that song. It was on our set. And for some reason, I just had like a temporary like moment where I just started the guitar riff without the drum start and started at the complete wrong tempo. And we just had to go for it. I remember looking over at Johnny, and Johnny was just staring at me like, "What the hell are you doing?"
needed this moment in the shine.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. now we listen to that song, and that's all that comes to my mind.
It's a bit of a meme.
It's a
good memory.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, like,
yeah,
we rehearsed us. We just
lost with it. Yeah.
Yeah.
What kind of music, George, did your parents listen to when you were growing up?
To be honest, my mum didn't listen to much music, but my dad has been like a pretty heavy influence on my music taste. Mainly just like rock. Like he listens to everything, but the stuff that really, really stuck with me was like rock. So Green Day, Blur, Coldplay, like early Coldplay, Genesis. There's kind of like a dad rock category, Red Hot Chili Peppers, that all kind of fit into that. And that's kind of what I was into when I was growing up, to be honest, because like whenever I was in his car, that was what was playing through the stereo. So like, that's just what you learn, I guess. So yeah, kind of dad rock, I guess.
Yeah. How about you, Johnny? What kind of music did your parents listen to?
Quite a lot of different stuff. My mum was a big Dylan fan, is a big Dylan fan. Finally got the chance to see him actually for her birthday a couple of years back, and so there was a lot of Dylan growing up. But then funnily enough, there was some Nirvana that at the time never really stuck with me. Like the song stuck with me. It was obviously because they write a lot of catchy songs. It was especially Nevermind, so like a lot more like sort of pop focused. So a lot of that sort of stuck with me growing up. But then there's, I remember on road trips, there was the Proclaimers. My mum's got some Scottish heritage as well. So bit of everything, really. Some Putumayo classics, which is just like a sort of collaboration of different like world music and some stuff like that. So just sort of a big variation, really. Yeah. But I think mainly... my main like musical influence was my brother. Like I remember he had he got an iPod first out of any of us, obviously, because he's the oldest. And I remember the day he got a new one, and I finally got his one passed down. And that had all kinds of stuff in it. It had like some old Eminem, so I was big. That got me into the whole rap scene basically, and hip hop. And so yeah, just a whole. I wish I could find it. I don't know where it's going.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
All kinds of classics. Yeah.
I always say that. I'm like, oh man, if I could go back in time and go gather all the mixtapes like I ever made or made for people. Like that would be awesome. We were at a Robbie Burns supper last night. Have you guys ever heard of Robbie Burns? It's like a famous Scottish guy. Anyways,
of course. You've got burns now, Inuit, I guess. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so it was like unreal. We just kind of got invited to this thing. We're like, what are we going to? We always know something that's going on that we're invited to, and he just would not tell us anything. Just come and have something to eat. It's going to be fun. There's going to be music, dancing, and we're like, okay. So we walk in, and I'm like, Stuart, just tell me what we're doing. He's like, I can't tell you guys. You're going to love it. But they had like bagpipes and he was like stabbing meat and it was like this big ceremony.
Oh, works. Yeah.
Poems.
That's brilliant.
And then we like learned how to do all these different dances. It was like wild. Like it was so much fun. But yeah.
Plenty of neeps and tatties, I guess. So you're a fan of haggis?
Yeah, it was. He dressed the haggis and obviously it wasn't real, but still he was like stabbing the meat and there's this big ordeal. And I was like, this is kind of insane, right? It was like super fun to just kind of be immersed in somebody's culture like that. I was like, this is really cool. And to kind of
experience that.
It was really, really cool. Do you guys remember, like Lewis, do you remember your first, what would it be, probably a CD, your very first CD you ever bought?
Yes, I think it was a Weird Al Yankovic CD. I remember I was in America at the time and went to a Best Buy. I must have been like 8-9 years old, and I thought he was just a living legend. So I saw the CD, begged my parents to buy it for me, and they did. And I think that was the first CD I bought.
Have any of you guys ever seen him live in concert?
I have not actually. No, I'd love to.
I heard he's like unreal. Like,
yeah, I can imagine.
50 million costume changes and like stage presence.
He's a legend, honestly.
Yeah, he'd be pretty cool to see in concert.
Yeah.
It'd be very theatrical for sure. Yeah. I love it. All right, next song.
Yeah.
Oh, this is a great song. I remember when Live came out and how popular that album was, especially that song, obviously, Lightning Crash.
Incredible album.
Yeah. Whose song is that?
Kind of mine, to be honest. So that song was basically the first song I ever heard Stan play and sing. As we were talking about earlier, it kind of it made me realize that we can like do that kind of stuff together. Which was obviously like the birth of this band, essentially. And probably a few months after we started busking, and that song was one of the ones that we covered together out in like our hometown. That song to me now just like kind of brings me back to like first discovering how we can kind of be musical together, I guess.
So who's always late in the band?
We all take turns, actually.
We're all pretty good at it.
I actually couldn't pin it down because we all come from different areas, so we all have to like find a place to meet.
I kind of feel like even if we were all in the same spot, you know, it'd be just as bad.
And then do you guys have like any rituals before you get on stage?
Probably the best.
To be honest, we haven't really had much time for rituals before gigs because you normally get about 15 minutes to chuck all your stuff on stage and then you're going. So it's like, but who knows? We might come up with something.
What about, have you ever had an experience where you were going to an event or to a show and like everything was just completely falling apart?
I remember one time actually on the way to a gig, we were driving from outside of London to get in there in my car. It's now scrapped. Rest in peace. It's a beautiful Renault Clio. But we were on the way to the driving down the motorway, and my tire went like exploded on the side, and we were like, oh god, we're going to be super late. So managed to pull in, had to change the tire out, had grease all over our hands and everything, and then managed to carry on and get there. I think we actually didn't miss the sound check, but we were kind of very close. And then went on and carried on. But I can't really, apart from that, I can't really think of too much stuff. It's all managed to go fairly swimmingly.
That's
outside
good.
Of like parking tickets and just other nonsense, because London is a bit of a pain sometimes.
I love it. All right.
Oh, yeah.
Nirvana, let's go. So obviously you guys are big influenced by Nirvana.
I remember me and Johnny, I remember when, because me and Johnny have lived in London for the last couple of years together. I remember when Johnny was learning drums, I remember drilling that song with him like a lot. I remember that being a song that like you kind of learn to a T. I just remember like...
Yeah. I mean, Dave Grohl was like massive influence on me learning basically, because that was, yeah, like Sandra said earlier, that was their main influence like at the time. It's adapted a little bit since then, but like at the time when I was learning, getting introduced to the band, it was definitely Nirvana. So Dave Grohl and Chad Channon were definitely influences, and that song was one that I enjoyed playing a lot at the time. And so me and San, we'd rehearse every week or so where was it, Creation Studios in Kentish Town. Lovely little spot if you ever visiting. But yeah, we go down there and have a little bash. And one time we brought George over and we're like, George, look what we can play, look what we learned. And George, being the guitarist in the band, Stanley just had to like stand there and watch me and Stan kind of play a very shoddy cover of Floyd the Barber, and then just be like, yeah, nice, good job.
I'm a very proud dad.
Yeah, no, it was fun. Good
Stan,
times.
Do you have any pet peeves, things that drive you crazy?
Pet peeves, like, yeah. As a singer?
No, just like, you know, somebody going 40 in a 80 zone, things that drive you up the wall a little bit.
Well, the first thing that came to mind is just whether it be in rehearsal or on stage and just not being able to hear myself singing, screaming, doing anything, which is the nature of like being in a heavy band, I guess, is you kind of, sound wise, it's either spot on or completely off. I mean, in terms of us being able to hear ourselves on stage, like really being able to hear the detail of what we're doing, which is so important in, because it is so eclectic and heavy, and yeah. Especially vocally, the nature of what I'm doing is so intense. So technically, it's really precise, the things I'm doing in my voice, so I don't hurt myself. So when I can't hear myself, it can be very frustrating. So I suppose as we've rehearsed more and more, a pet peeve has definitely been, why can't I hear myself? What do I need to do? But
I can squeal in PAs as well.
So how do you keep your voice? Like, what are some things, techniques that you do for your voice? Do you have, like, were you trained to do something different with your voice?
I'd say I was classically trained. I say I've had singing lessons since I was a boy. I sang in lots of different choirs growing up. Me and Johnny were at like a cathedral school growing up, so I was in different cathedral choirs and stuff, and I've always been around classical music. And then as a teenager, I started discovering rock and roll and stuff like that, and I wanted to sing. I wanted to be able to scream. I wanted to be able to growl. I wanted to be able to do all kinds of acrobatics with my voice. And I learned that doesn't just come. You have to learn that the same way an opera singer has to learn how to belt. You know, like so I spent the last 4 years or so blowing out my voice, trying this, trying that. And just discovering like, yeah, technique. And now I feel like I'm at a place where I've spent so much time learning how to scream, how to access my false chords, what my voice is doing. Like, I've learned about voice production, and I feel like I'm in a place now where I can do a set of screaming and singing, and I can rehearse every week, and I can show up, and I can take care of myself, and I can go home afterwards, and I can speak, and I can still practice, and I can live, you know.
That's so right.
Yeah, it's been a process, though. It's been a journey. I'm still on it, you know.
Is there a show collectively that you guys can agree on that was like phenomenal, one of your favorite shows so far?
It's like a
last night. Yeah, I was going to say that. We had a gig last night, and yeah, felt very good. It just went off like kind of how we wanted to go off. Obviously, there were a few technical issues in terms of us being able to hear ourselves, but that's like kind of standard to be expected. And it was like there were ups and downs, but like looking back at it and the feeling on the night, the energy from the crowd, the venue, like it felt great. It felt really good fun.
We're playing a new set list as well. It was very refreshing for us.
Yeah, I think it was the it feels like a new chapter for us as a band, because I feel like we've spent the last 4 months writing an entirely new set. Like you said, we have a wealth of kind of new material, and it feels like last night was the beginning of us being able to showcase a performance which is completely and utterly our own, you know, completely authentic to us.
Yeah.
Love that. That's awesome. So it's like you're so used to doing this, and now you're doing, it's like completely different. It's like a new album.
Yeah, absolutely.
Exactly.
Yeah, I love it. All right, next song. Another System of a Down.
Watching.
Suggestions.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
All right, who wants to share?
Who's got the story for that? Who wrote this one down?
It's our go-to cover. It's we have one cover in our set along with the rest of our original material we showcase, and this and Suggestions, it just captures the essence of our live sets. It slots in perfectly. It's an amazing cover that we have so much fun playing, and yeah, it just fits perfectly, doesn't it?
So tell me about the two new. Tell me about your two singles that you released. What are they about? Who wrote them?
Well, the latest one we released, Black and White, I guess I wrote. It started with like just a nice tone on the amp, and I was by myself in my room at home, and I just was just messing around and just came up with the intro to that song, and then just kind of throughout that night just kept working on it, and I was just loving it. I was really loving it, and I recorded it on my phone as a voice note and brought it to the band like a few days later or so, and everybody liked it, so we ran with it, and here we are quite a while later, like 4 or 5 months later, with it released on Spotify, which is great. And I really love how it came out, to be honest.
It settled really quick as well. Settled really quick. Like, you brought the idea in, and all of us like immediately we were like, yeah, all right, we like this, and then ran with it, and we all found our feet with it pretty quickly. So
how does it feel just watching the crowd sing some of your songs when you're playing?
I don't know how much of that we've had, to be honest. We got a little bit.
Last night was, I think, because we haven't really gigged since Black and White's been out. It came out late. Came out October, no? November. Yeah. And we haven't gigged since September. So I think last night was, it felt like a new chapter, and it felt like, wow, like there were people who turned out to see us, you know? And to hear Black and White, which was cool.
So no bras are being thrown on stage at your show.
Well, you say that. Two different sets actually. It was quite, I was, well, I was happy with it until I saw who they came from. And it came from one of my best mates from school and his girlfriend, and they brought along someone that I just to throw on stage, landed slap bang on my cymbal stand, and I was like, yeah, it's quite something. But you know, appreciate the support. So thank you, Asha. Thank you, Emma. Love you lots. Yeah.
So have you guys had to sign any unusual things yet?
No, not yet.
I haven't given any up. No signature.
No signing.
Are you giving out picks, George Lewis? Throwing some picks.
I've given out one pick, and it was to one of your friends one night out after a gig, because she asked me for a paper, and I tried to pull my paper out and drop the pick, and she picked it up, and I was like, "You can have that. That was from tonight." And she freaked out. And that was that. Never saw her again.
That's awesome. So are you guys all single?
No. Well,
Stan is. He met a girl last night, right?
Well, I'm engaged.
Okay.
I've been with the same girl since I was 16. I'm 24 this year, so.
Okay. That? Wow. High school.
8 years,
yeah. Yeah.
All right. So
I'm single myself.
You're single too, John?
Sir.
George?
Two of us.
Yeah.
George's not.
No, I'm not.
Okay. So I have these questions. I usually, after people come on the show, they like to send me questions that I should ask other guests. So sometimes I don't really know what they are. Oh, so I'm gonna pick this one is for Okay, this one's for George. You ready?
Okay.
Have you ever picked your nose and ate it?
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah. I mean, what man hasn't?
It's obvious, right?
Yeah.
Right. This one just kind of falls into play. I feel like I know this answer, but this one's for Stan.
Okay.
Right? Do you watch porn?
Oh, my God.
Who wrote these? Sorry, who wrote these questions?
No, I don't watch porn, but I can't say I haven't been a horny teenager.
What's your preferred porn? If you were to watch porn, what kind of porn do you like to watch?
Well, you're a cosplay sort of guy.
Yeah, definitely. Hentai.
The cleanest porn is what you're saying.
Yeah.
This is kind of suiting. Like, Lewis, do you have a sex tape? You and your girlfriend, fiance, have a sex tape?
No, we don't. No.
You know? Does anybody in the group have a sex tape that you're going to release after this show?
Well, maybe the full band.
Yeah.
Collective. He knows.
And then, Johnny's, yours is really easy. What's your favorite book to read?
Okay, that's not that easy. I don't know. I'm currently reading a Che Guevara memoir, which makes me sound much more intelligent than I am. But it's quite interesting. Favorite?
Do you have like
say growing book? Up? My growing up, my favorite was The Hobbit. I think I read that.
Yeah, that's a great times. Book.
Great little adventure.
Yeah, it is. But yeah. I love it. All right, awesome. Next song, Super Haven. Song's called Youngest Daughter.
This one's a bit controversial.
Okay, I don't like that.
Just in that, I would say I wrote this an interlude.
Wow.
And some naysayers would beg to differ, but yeah, no. As a band, we came up with an interlude, and. Yeah, so we were gigging with it, and we chucked in the set at midway point, just a little minute long kind of thing. And then a couple months later, I was just on Spotify listening to some songs, and that song came on, and it turns out it's the exact same chords, exact same chord progression, and just kind of completely threw me, and I sent it to the band. I was like, I don't think we can play this anymore. Like, somebody's done this exact thing before. It was completely innocent. Like, I had no idea it was a thing. But yeah, no, absolutely, it's a lovely song though. Absolutely love it. So yeah.
You guys could play with another band, tour with another band, just be a part of it. Who would you love to tour with?
System.
Yeah?
System of a Down.
System of a Down, 100%.
Have you guys ever reached out to them?
No.
You should. I haven't yet.
Worth a shot. Always worth
why
a
not?
Shot.
In the world that we live in, why not? It's easy now.
Yeah, no, it's true. It's true. Yeah, it's just, I mean, there's a lot.
I mean, they barely play shows anymore.
That'd be really
yeah,
cool.
It's true. Yeah, I mean, I think Deftones would be fun as well, obviously. I mean, it's all way above the realms of possibility at the moment, so. But it's nice to think about. I think for me, Deftones or System.
Would there be anybody that you guys would love to just kind of, if you had like an hour of their time to just have a conversation with them about music, who would that be for you, Stan?
I think right now, at the minute, like a current band, probably the band Sleep Token, because I just really like how they've created their image, their band, how they've risen up, and their complete commitment to like maintaining their like act. It's like method acting for a band. They like never drop their bubble never breaks, no matter where they go. They've like kept their anonymity. They like no one knows their names.
Well,
until
this dickhead fan recently gone and done like an in-depth search on them and leaked all their information.
So Lewis, I know you've went to lots of concerts. What's your favorite band t-shirt?
I mean, as I said earlier, probably Ed Shikari. I'm currently wearing an Ed Shikari shirt now. Trivium as well, one of my favorite bands. I've met them a few times.
Australian.
No, they're from Florida. Are they? Yeah. Bring Me the Horizon. I literally saw them last week. An incredible band. They were one of the first like heavy gigs I went to. So I have a few of their shirts as well.
What's the craziest show you've ever seen?
Oh God. That is a really big question. Craziest show I've ever seen. Yeah, probably Trivium or Lamb of God, I'd say. Lamb of God was like just batshit crazy. Everyone was just on it. The Prodigy. Yeah, of course. Yeah, The Prodigy. My God, what a band. Seen them live. I saw them with Keith before he passed. And I've seen them now without Keith. And the energy is still like just incredible.
I bet you that would be unreal.
Every time I've seen them, they've just always knocked it out of the park. And yeah, there's just everyone's just fucking on it, you know, like whether they're on drugs or not, like, you know, they're just on it, and the mosh pits are just crazy, and there's just this energy that's just, yeah, unmatched, I guess.
Yeah. George, what's the music scene where you guys are right now? What kind of music is really, really popular in like the pubs right now?
Indie is popular at the moment. And indie is quite broad, but I would say it's kind of, do you know, like bedroom pop? It's kind of like bedroom pop. People just doing their own thing, honestly. I would say there's not like a genre like popping off, or there's nothing really that's like coming up from this area, but indie music is just, I just see it all the time around here, honestly.
Do you guys notice like a lot of different artists coming through London? Like, is there like a big music scene out there? Obviously we think there is, but is there a really big music scene in the UK? Like, is it all different types?
There's like every time we play a gig, there's new bands that we're playing with, and we're playing with a new, like it's a completely new card every time, basically. Apart from it, like a few times we'll play with the same bands again. And yeah, I mean, the music scene is big. There's plenty of creative people here who are trying to build, but like it's struggling, like it is everywhere, because it's getting expensive, music industry, to put on a show. Like there's a lot of pressure from certain promoters to put on to or to sell however many tickets, like do this now, and it's very like money orientated, which can make it difficult, can make it frustrating, but it is what it is, and we love it. We love not that about it, obviously, but we love making the music, we love playing the music, as do all the other creatives that we're around when we do it. So it's just sort of something you got to work through, but there's definitely an appetite for it here. It's an exciting place to be.
Awesome. All right, some Black Sabbath. I love it. I actually just went and seen Zach Sabbath, like with Zach Wild, just in a really small venue on like on the 17th of December. It was awesome. He's such a, like, I don't know how to describe it, like an 80s guitar showman, like, you know, praising his guitar, and you're just like, just brings you back to the 80s, which is awesome. I love it. Hey, who picked Black Sabbath?
I think that was me. Yeah, it was me. I mean, the first time I heard that song, it's like, it's very standout from that album. Obviously, it's an incredible album, way ahead of its time, like from the 70s, and it just, like, Black Sabbath just bringing an incredible, incredible sound. And then I was listening through, and then stumbled across this one, and it's just like, it just like put me in a trance almost. Like, it's just so beautiful, and sort of like made me think about different ways that I could use the drums instead of just necessarily bashing them all the time, you know. But like being a bit more intricate with how I'm playing. So it's just a bit of like a head turner, how there's room for that variation in a heavy sound still. Like you can still you can flow between. So yeah, it's just, yeah, it's got a special place in my heart, I think.
Yeah, I think anything to do with Black Sabbath is pretty awesome.
100%.
Right? It's like an awesome. So George, who would be your favorite guitar player?
Oh, that's a tough question.
Right there.
My favorite guitar player, honestly, Kurt Cobain.
Yeah.
I think Kurt Cobain, thinking about it, just because, like, people say he was messy and, like, he was, like, you know, didn't know how to play the guitar really, and like had this sloppy sound, but he was incredible. Like he played some really difficult and like intricate riffs, and also came up with those really intricate, difficult riffs that you know, sound sloppy, but are really hard to play. And yeah, I don't know. I think that
so really, much soul in it.
Yeah, exactly.
So much soul in it as well. Yeah.
Yeah, and he really kind of revolutionized what was kind of going on. You know, we went from like hairband 80s to now this super deep, you know, dirty grunge, right? Yeah, which is really, really cool to be able to, you know, totally transform the music industry where we were all still just rocking out to 80s hairband, right? Then go to, it's kind of crazy. Yeah. It's really, really
cool.
So what's your guys' favorite part of a strip club?
I've never been, so I can tell you. Except in GTA.
You guys have never been to a strip club.
I've never been.
Oh my goodness. George, you're gonna
We're children, we're children of God.
Strip club.
I've been in GTA, to be fair. I've been in GTA. But outside of that, no. Never.
Well, you're gonna have to go.
Although I've got a conspiracy theory that the massage place opposite me is actually a strip club. There's something going down there. It looks a little bit.
It's a little rub and tug. You might want to find out what's happening there before you book your massage.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, next time. <song. laughs> Right, Joy Division.
Yeah. That'd be me. Yeah, Joy Division, ultimate incredible bands. The short period they're around, the influence they've had even on like today's music is just incredible. Peter Hook is a bassist. That bass line is just so instantly recognizable. It's the opener to one of my favorite albums of all time. I love Joy Division.
Do you guys like movies? Like, who's your favorite director or favorite movie?
Always been a Tarantino man myself.
Yes, love it.
He is one of the most obvious picks. But
yeah, he's got a great soundtrack. Like his music.
Definitely.
You know, if you like, obviously his movies are really good. But why I love watching his movies is there's so much music that I pull off of his movies that I've never even heard before.
Yeah, you wouldn't have thought. Yeah.
Yeah, he'd be awesome. Anybody else want to share?
Tim Burton is my favorite director, I think, definitely. I love the worlds that he creates, crazy alien storylines and landscapes and like
the mediums he plays with as well are really cool.
Like,
of action.
Tim Burton for me.
Yeah, awesome. You guys have any man crushes?
Yes. Ron Swanson from Parks and Recreation.
That's a great show. That's hilarious. Anybody else want to share their man crush?
What's his name from Vampire Diaries? Damien.
Yes, I love Damien. Good choice.
I can't remember his real name. Ian, is it Ian Somerhalder?
Yeah,
him. That's who I'd say.
Stan, you want to share your man crush?
It's got to be Gavin Rossdale.
Nice. That's a great one. Yeah, I love Gavin Rossdale, for sure. All right, Johnny, you're the only man out. Who are you crushing?
A bit of an obscure one. Probably Joe Marler, England rugby player. He's a beautiful man. Beautiful man. Comedy, gold.
Of the ball.
Yeah.
And, I love it.
The trim, the haircut is just unbelievable. Impossible not to love him, really.
You guys got great taste in men. I love it. All right. I love this band. Hey, Rage Against the Machine. I seen them in Vancouver probably 26 years ago. My daughter was conceived at that Rage Against the Machine concert 26 years ago.
Mental. Wow.
I love Rage Against the Machine.
I booked to see them twice, and both times they cancelled.
Really?
No way, really? Yeah.
First time was because of COVID, which, fair enough.
Yeah.
Second time, it was on the last leg of their tour. They were supposed to play Reading Festival. Zach, he hurt his leg on tour, didn't he? So they stopped all shows and, never seen them. The closest I've been to seeing them was Prophets of Rage, which I saw opening for Eminem the last time I saw him.
Wow.
Another incredible band, Tom Morello.
So good.
So good. Zach's lyrics, his whole demeanor is just, again, another unmatched band with that sort of energy. It's just, I'm very, very upset I've never had the chance to see them. They're literally the one band that I haven't seen, other than Deftones and System. mainly them.
I love it. So what do you guys got going on right now? What's coming up, let's say, in the next, call it 5 months for you guys?
A lot.
We're booked up, who wants to...
We've got some gigs.
We've got
a Metal to the Masses gig, which is basically like a competition. And if you get through, you get to play at Bloodstock, which is just a big metal festival here in the UK. So hopefully we make it through on that, which would be great. And then we've got a gig after that on the 16th of February. A local gig, in Cheltenham, at a place called the Frog and Fiddle, which is going to be a really great night. I'm looking forward to that.
Any new releases? You guys got any new songs you're going to release over the next, call it, 3-4 months?
Yeah, we've got some studio time booked. End of Feb, isn't it? Like, towards the end of 23rd of Feb. So going back to producer that we worked with on our last single. And yeah, hopefully gonna have a couple new tunes to release. Yeah, within 5 months, I would say it should be ready to go. So yeah, very excited to get around to releasing some more of our new stuff.
Awesome. Lewis, have you ever been to Download?
Yes, many times.
Lives at Download.
I love Download. I've found so many great bands at Download. First time I saw Sleep Token was at the Download pilot, which was like a experiment they did during COVID. So a couple months before the whole lockdown and everything was like lifted, they'd done this thing called the pilot, which was, I think, limited to 10,000 people. As Download is normally like over 100,000. It was Enter Shikari were headlining, which, as you know, one of my favorite bands. I think it was Frank Hart and the Rattlesnakes and Bullet for My Valentine. But yeah, Sleep Token were there, and they're on a small stage. And yeah, seeing them live for the first time was incredible.
It's crazy.
And now to see how big they've gone, it's just, yeah, it's kind of surreal. I went last year, saw the double Metallica set with Bring Me playing, Slipknot. It was just an incredible year. I've been many times.
Yeah, I have a friend that goes every single time. He's like a born Maiden fan. Like, I've never not seen him with an Iron Maiden t-shirt on. I've known him 13 years. I've actually had him on the show because he loves Iron Maiden so much. And I wanted to go to his house to do the show because his whole garage is like Iron Maiden. Like, there's every single Eddie poster that you can imagine that's ever been done in like 40 years. Like, it's just all Maiden. Yeah, like it was pretty cool, but he loves going to Download, like every year, just flying out to the UK and going to Download. He loves it. So it's pretty cool. So where can we find you guys? Where can we stalk you, hunt you down? What's your social medias, addresses, phone numbers?
Addresses, yeah. You got some postcodes. No, we're on Instagram, I'd say we're most active, but then basically anywhere on any social media. It'll be Prodigal Official, prodigal.official. Check us out, see what we got going on. We got a YouTube channel as well. We'll be posting some bits from gigs and whatnot.
TikTok as well.
TikTok also, fortunately. But yeah.
Love it. Okay, this is your guys' last song. You ready?
Absolutely. There's something inside this
confusion. All right. I think this is Lewis. I feel like this is a Lewis song. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. again, Deftones, one of our biggest influences. I love most of their stuff, to be honest, like, if not all. But yeah, that song in particular for me, the bass line, it's just so good. It's got a really cool rhythm to it. It just flows really nicely. And first time I heard that song, I was like, wow, this is just fucking incredible. But it's the same with most Deftones songs, even the latest stuff. Like, a lot of people don't like it, but I still think they're just as good as ever, personally. And I'm excited to see what they release this year.
Are they going to release something this year?
They've announced that they're releasing an album this year.
So no way. That's good.
Hopefully we get to see them as well.
Cool. I really love I love how they're not afraid to like change up their sound as well. They're they're completely down for the trajectory that they're on, and they don't really give a shit about what people are gonna say.
Thank you guys. I so appreciate you guys driving, getting all together. I love that you guys all got together. That's awesome, and joining us today on Music Junkies. But before I let you go, Stan, I would like to have you leave us with some words of wisdom, if you could.
He's buffering.
Yeah. What can I say? I don't know. I guess having what we were saying before, we had our first gig yesterday, after four months of writing. We spent the last
we spent the last like year together gigging, 2 years before that honing things even more, and like finally it feels like the ship is starting to take off for us. So
stick with it.
Yeah, stick with it. It takes time, but yeah, I feel like if it doesn't feel like the beginning of the journey, but as in some way that you're on the journey, like,
yeah,
you know, you're not doing it right. So yes, yeah, stick with it.
I love it. You're halfway through the shit pile. Don't turn back and go back. Just keep
absolutely going. Not forward.
I love it. Thank you guys so much. I appreciate
Thank
it.
You.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us. Appreciate it.
Thanks for listening today. Hope you enjoyed the show. New episodes out every Monday. Please share with a friend and subscribe because you want to. And like me because you like me. Leave a comment so we can connect. And if you have a great playlist and you want to share, I'd love to have you on the show. Please reach out to me on Instagram @TheMusicJunkiesPodcast.